Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NBA playoffs in the Western Conference. What a difference. Not necessarily in the Western Conference that a difference a week makes, but last week, I know Oklahoma City had just taken a 1-0 lead at the time we did our podcast, and now they are up 2-1 and look to be in real control. And the games that I've seen, it really seems like Billy D, old Billy Donovan, is really out coaching Steve Kerr. I mean, he's like one step ahead, it seems. And he has two like superstars in Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. But what are your thoughts on them being so in control?
Well, it's interesting you should say that about the coaching, because I would concur that Steve is being outcoached. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't think the Warriors going to get out of this series alive, because I understand they don't lose two back-to-back. But, I mean, they don't have no answer for Westbrook or Durant, really.
Right. I mean, they're both playing, you know, just out of their mind so far in this series. And it's the Warriors, like I said last week, they too casual, they too cocky, and when them shots don't fall.
Right, they don't seem to be focused like they should be locked in and not all this celebrating like we talked about. They should be like locked in. I scored, all right, let's get a stop. But another thing that I think is going to start hurting them, which I talked about early in our podcast several weeks, maybe months ago, they shouldn't have been chasing the record. They should have been resting their players when they knew they had the lead and was going to win it all, because now fatigue is starting to set in, and the longer this series goes, it's going to be worse for them. And I don't think they're going to make it out of OKC. I'd rather see OKC coming out, winning at home again, and then they're going to be in the must-win when they go back home. And I'm surprised that that boy didn't get suspended for kicking that dude in the groin. But whatever.
Yeah, Draymond Green looks like he's going to avoid suspension for that move.
And it don't look like he is. But the killer is, you know the league wasn't going to suspend him, because they like the suspense. And if he don't play, it'll be kind of like, oh, they about to lose, because they ain't going to have their heart or their defense when they want to play small and none of that, and they just wouldn't have any replacement for him. But I really think what the Warriors done, and a part of it, they shouldn't have been chasing 73 wins and been trying to rest for the long haul.
And it's really going to be sad, because, you know, as we both stated previously, we was kind of looking forward to the Warriors at one time, you know, going in there and playing against Cleveland again and then beating Cleveland and showing everybody that last year wasn't a fluke.
And,
So, I honestly,
I'm not an OKC fan. I like both of their star players and everything, but they not scared of them. They can go pound for pound with them, and the way they just been dominating them when they do dominate, I don't know.
Yeah. Moving on to the other side, the Eastern Conference. Wow.
Glad the Raptors decided to wake up, because right, I thought this was over. Yeah, I was like, what the world, man? Like, they ain't never played a playoff game.
Yeah, this series is definitely holds true to that statement, what a difference a week makes. Because last week, Cleveland was up 2-0, and not just up 2-0, they had just dominated Toronto in two straight games. And a couple of games later, up there up north in Toronto, you got Bismack Biyombo playing like Dennis Rodman, getting 26 rebounds, and your boy, future Laker, DeMar DeRozan.
Right. He really want to go back. I didn't realize he's from Compton or something like that.
Yeah, Compton.
Might not be Compton. Mm-hmm. It is Compton. Okay.
Yeah, that
and
is.
And I guess he want to go back home. He about that life.
Yeah. He's playing like the superstar that the Lakers need right now.
I'm still not putting superstar by his name, yeah. Star. But this is the thing, and you've heard it time and time again from veterans like Kenny Smith and Charles. You know, when you get to go home, your role players gonna play better at home than they do on the road. And so, they gonna have to steal one in Cleveland to you know, make this thing really interesting.
Right.
And the only way they're gonna be able to do that is if DeMar and Lowry show up and bring it. Because the role players, they're going to struggle on the road. Especially with a new, like, they all young. This they first, you know, pretty much all of them's first playoff experience. So they're going to struggle on the road, and they're going to play better at home. And so now, I mean, they really, the playoffs don't start, according to the vets, until somebody loses at home. And ain't nobody lost at home yet, so we'll see.
Right. They definitely need the two All-Stars to show up. And then you'll have Jonas Valanciunas, the center, who's been out with an ankle injury for a couple of weeks. He'll be returning for game 5 back in Cleveland, so they'll have him back.
Depending on what kind of style Lou want to play, a big man ain't going to help. Because if he goes small and put Shannon Fern on him out there, according to the highlights and everything, that's when Cleveland made their run when they was able to stretch the floor with the
Fry's been shooting really well. The other thing I was gonna say, Kevin Love and Kyrie, if they don't find their shot once again, Cleveland could be in some kind of trouble. The last couple of games they haven't been shooting very well.
Well, we already talked about them shooting too many threes and falling in love with the, oh, we can shoot threes too and all that, and how that would be to their detriment. So,
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to bring us to our first break. On the other side, we'll get into a little TV talk and much more. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Mighty Ruthie, the latest in the SEC storied franchise, which is kind of like the 30 for 30 for the SEC network, details the life of Ruthie Bolton, shows her growing up in a huge family. She was, I believe, the 19th child of 26 children. Shows her growing up in a huge family, becoming a huge basketball star, winning two straight state championships at McLean High School in McLean, Mississippi, with her sister, Mayola Bolton. Both her and her sister both wind up being recruited and going to Auburn for college, where they would play in back-to-back NCAA championship games. Losing both to Louisiana Tech and Tennessee, who were the perennial powers at the time. But the crux and the big meat of the story has to do with Ruthie Bolton's domestic abusing situation with her husband. She details, you know, accounts of her just being physically abused by her husband. Sad situation, but it's, you know, it's good that she came out of it the way that she has. I mean, this is a situation that was going on while she was winning gold medals, while she was being a WNBA superstar, you know, still having all of this in the back of her mind, going home to all of this. And she, it's sad that, you know, that things like this happen. It's a very good story for someone who may be dealing with the same issues, or know, you know, maybe you know of someone who's dealing with the same issues. What do you think about this whole domestic?
Well, I just want to reiterate that I didn't even know she was married. I told you that, and then I was like, I didn't know she was married. And I say that, and you're like, oh, well, you might not have been paying attention to basketball. Well, obviously, I was paying quite a bit of attention to the basketball since I was playing during that time.
Right.
And I played with her sister. She came to camps and stuff. Mayola, who is another main kind of person in the documentary, she was around Florida basketball a lot. Know her. Actually been at their home. Had no idea the girl was married, or the young lady was married. So then, okay, so now they're taking another further. Who knows? Nobody ever knows that somebody's being abused, right?
Right.
But I would have never thought that she would have even stayed in a situation like that. Like, not that she seemed like she was mean and, like, wouldn't take any jump from nobody. She's just the sweetest person in the world, but you just think that, okay, you feel like when people have, like, 20 siblings, you just be like, oh, you hit me? I'm telling my brother, or, you know, or right. Whatever. And not, oh, I'm going to just deal with it and just hope it get better, which is usually what happens with women that are, or men that are in violent situations. They think if they change their behavior, that it'll change the other person's behavior in some kind of way they can fix it. Yeah, that's not the case.
Right. And, you know, it winds up being, for Ruthie at least, it winds up being a great story of redemption and, you know, reclaiming her life, really, and being able to get out of that situation. But I know, like, you and I both spoke about, when you're that person, you're that friend of that person that, you know, is seeing this go on or hearing about this going on, you're trying to help that person get out of that situation. It's not necessarily something that's very easy. Especially for you and the person being abused, because you from the outside are like, okay, she's not listening to me. I'm trying to help her out. You know, she's still staying with this man. It's very easy for that person on the outside to give up hope on helping, on being there for that the individual that's being abused. But you have to continue to be there for them. You have to continue to, you know, to be that lifeline that when they call, you know, you're there on the other end.
And I'll add this. Yeah, you should be there and supportive, but do be mindful that if this person is abusive and violent and you hear these words like I'll kill you and that kind of stuff, that don't put your life in danger trying to handle this. Like if that's help for people that's trying to help people, or, you know, the families of people that are victims of, you know, these kind of situations, because you can just as well be killed. Like, he can come looking for her at your house or him at your house or whatever, and they lose it and just start like, well, let's kill everybody. So don't put yourself in these dangerous situations, because I have a friend that works with violent prevention and intimate partner violence and all that, and she is always consistently reiterates that the most volatile time, that may not be the word that she used, but I'm using it, volatile time is when the person actually decides to leave, because a lot of times these people have told them, I'll kill you if you try to leave me. And I thought it was good that Ruthie said she had a bag packed and ready with, you know, like a to-go bag, and she was ready to grab that bag and didn't have to look back. Because, you know, we saw in one of Tyler Perry's movies where the girl tried to leave when he was laying there asleep. Now, he gone all day, but you're going to try to leave when he laying there right there, and then he about to throw you over the balcony telling you, like, you're not leaving me. No, you need, like, if you have an opportunity to leave when he ain't there, leave. When he not there, don't leave when, you know, he in the house or he could come back and catch you. So, and then, I'm glad, you know, that she didn't have kids at that time, because then that's a whole nother ballgame when you're trying to leave with kids.
Right.
So.
And, you know, she even talks about it in the piece about being, you know, in love. And, you know, they had those little corny pictures show up when they were first dating where they would, you know, dress alike. And, you know, there was obviously some love there. And, you know, she even says that she, just like many other people who were being abused, she, you know, she thought that she could fix things. And, you know, so that's why she stayed with him as long as she did, you know.
But I usually see the good side.
Right.
So I'm thinking to this show that I saw a young lady, the guy hit her or whatever, and she's sitting down talking to his mom, and she like, but I see the good in him. Yeah, that's the problem. And you ignoring the bad in him, and it's going to get you killed.
Right.
And that's usually what they go on. They see the good that he can be. They see the times when he's nice and chivalrous, and I'm sorry for, you know, I didn't mean to do it. And then it's a cycle. They nice, then Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and then they flip, and they walking on eggshells because you don't know when he about to have one of them moments where he just gonna slap you because the rice was too hot or something older. You came in and it was a sock on the floor that you didn't even know you dropped because you had just brought in the laundry. Whatever it is, like, so then you go through these times where you walking on eggshells scared that you gonna set him off. And then finally he hits you, and then he goes back to, oh, apologize. You know, you make me do this. If you would just do better, I wouldn't be this person. And then, you know, I'm going to give you flowers, and I'm going to be good for a little while. And then it just continues. The cycle keeps going and going until somebody breaks it, whether it's him by hurting you or you by leaving.
Well, I thought that the documentary was very well done. And like I said before, if you're someone who's being abused, if you know someone, or if you just like a story that's, you know, that's good for a good comeback, a good redemption story, you know, that has a positive outcome, this is definitely something you need to look up and find. And if you haven't seen it, go check it out.
I think it's a good story because not only, like, yeah, it was a good feel-good, like, oh, it all worked out well, but just the story to understand that, you know, and as an adult, I guess there's some adults out there that wish they could be somebody, but you never know what people be going through. Oh, people want to be Beyonce and live the life, but you don't know what she's dealing with. Yeah, the lemonade thing as far as him cheating, but, I mean, you don't know what other stresses she has, right, like being her. And so a lot of people wanted, I wish I could be like Ruthie, or I could be LeBron, or Stephon Curry, or whoever. And you have no idea what their personal life is like.
Right.
So enjoy being you.
Well, not to make light of a situation, because that's not what I'm trying to do here, but just to transition to our next topic, let's talk about another family with some definitely domestic issues, and we're talking about the Lyon family of Empire. This past Wednesday was the season finale episode of season 2, past this prologue, episode 18. We had a lot of different storylines. It was not as head spinning as the season 1 finale, thank God, but it did have a lot of different storylines involved all at once. First of all, the episode picks up 3 weeks after the Aces, where Jamal has been shot. He did not die. For everyone who, you know, was wondering if he was going to be taken off the show, he did not die. He's in a wheelchair, obviously recovering from his ordeal. So he, you know, everybody is now getting ready for Hakeem and Laura's wedding. Hakeem and Laura's wedding that did not follow through, did not go all the way through. You got Shine, who is a former, I'm sure he's still a rapper or whatever, but he's former associate of Lucius and Cookies and someone they just kind of kept in touch with, just because, you know, you got to keep in touch with those people that could snitch on you from back in the day. You got to keep good vibes with those, because you don't ever know, you know, don't ever want them to turn on you. So they have him at the wedding, and Shine is played by Xzibit. And like I was telling you off air, when I saw him, I immediately just started laughing, because all I could think about was Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, that's all we ever think about when we see him. There's probably a lot of people that don't even know that he rap.
The casting mistake is, as I call it, because there's no way I could vision him as a hardcore, you know, criminal type. I'm sorry, I can't do it. But anyway, at the wedding, Anika, who they are trying to hide out from, you know, being subpoenaed to testify against Lucius and Cookie, has been served a subpoena at the wedding from a member of catering, which obviously that was awesome writing, awesome way to kind of get the federal government in there, the FBI in there, with a subpoena, is to disguise the lady that's going to serve it as a member of catering. And, you know, she serves the subpoena. A little chaos ensues when the people who are supposed to be guarding Anika take off after the catering lady, who runs out the room after she serves the subpoena. They run into Shine, Xzibit's character. Big brawl, breaks out. That is about the time that Laura and her father are walking into the church or whatever this little area is. So they see all this going on. Laura breaks down crying, tells Hakeem she just can't do it. You know, obviously, with everything else that she's gone through with this family, this was just the icing on the cake. They let her know that she can't be with Hakeem. She just can't do it. So she runs off. So you think, okay, there's no wedding. Well, quick thinking Lucius comes up with the idea that since they have subpoenaed Anika, one way to stop her from having to testify, let me go ahead and get married to her. So they're married, she can't testify against him. And like I've said in the past couple of reviews that we've done, in the past couple of episodes for us, Cookie has gotten more and more, it seems, smitten and, you know, in love with Lucius all over again. So when she hears Lucius come up with this idea, she flips out. She gets all upset, starts crying. Because, you know, she's, like I said, she's back in love with Lucius. She's falling for Lucius again. So you got that. Anika and Lucius are getting married. The show ends, the cliffhanger, no pun intended, was right at the end. Rhonda and Anika are having this big brawl out on the balcony, where Anika pretty much admits to pushing Rhonda. You know, all this time we've been trying to find out who pushed Rhonda. They go at it. They're, you know, fighting back and forth. Andre busts through the door, and the last visual you see is Andre screaming, "No!" And, you know, you hear a woman's voice scream, and how, you know, it like it's trailing off, like it's falling. So you're led to believe someone has fallen. We don't know who. We got to wait for season 3 to find out who. I thought the episode was really, really well done, except for, like I said, Xzibit being a gangster, hardcore gangster, something I can't visualize. But, you know, they did the best they could. I mean, he was bald, so, you know, it wasn't exactly the Xzibit that you know and you've seen before. But still, don't know about that. I didn't like how they just kind of dismissed the fact that Mother Walker ended last week's episode by being in front of the TV cameras, seemingly about to tell all and tell, you know, whatever. Cause they just kind of halfway dismissed it with, you know, Lucius stating that, you know, Thirsty, a pimp named Slickback, as T calls him, is,
you know, pimp named Slickback, that purple suit on.
And then supposedly Thirsty stopped Mama Walker before she could say anything to the cameras. Wasn't a big plot. It was just kind of like something they said in passing. So don't know if something more will come of that in season 3. it's going to be interesting to see where they go. Jussie Smollett's character, Jamal, and D Majors. I don't know that D Majors will be back for season 3, but they did have, you know, some more moments in this episode that leads you to believe that their relationship may go further. Don't know what's going to happen with Hakeem and Laura. Will she, you know, have a change of heart, come back to him, or is she done with Empire altogether? The other big storyline was the fact that Tariq, the FBI agent, is Lucius's half-brother. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. I can't wait for season 3. I mean, I think it's going to be
something. This should be interesting.
Yeah.
You never can tell with these people.
Right.
There are a couple of Fox shows that's coming up. I don't know why we're giving shout-outs on Fox right now, but since we talk about Empire and it's on Fox, that I think that you may be interested in. And one, Lethal Weapon. They have the new Lethal Weapon. Who is the white guy? Do we know his name?
Clay Crawford plays Martin Riggs, the Mel Gibson character from the movie.
Yeah.
And then
one of the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, Damon Wayans plays the Lieutenant Murtoff, who is Danny Glover's character.
When Brian told me about this, I was like, I don't know about no comedy person being with no crazy person. But then I saw the trailer and I was like, that might just work. It looks good. He's not being silly. Obviously, some of his stuff gonna come out kind of sounding comedic, but it looked like he might be actually good.
Right.
All right. Another show you might like, Pitch. First female Major League Baseball player. Not only is she a female, she's a black female. Her first game, she just is awful. And I mean awful. It's like throwing the ball over around everywhere the ball shouldn't be thrown. And then she acts, you know how they call the catcher out, you know, and then the coach come out.
Right.
She asks to be taken out, which usually people don't do, like. And this is in the first, like, end of this look like. You really can't tell, but I'm like, oh, this ain't going well. But anyway, and the trailer looks good. Interested to see where they take that show. Being a woman in the all-male world. Should be good. Another show, Shots Fired. We got Sanaa Lathan and a new young man that I've never seen before. Look like they're internal affairs type people, and they are investigating actually a black shop cop killing a white young male, and seeing how this, you know, with the roles being reversed as far as what we have seen in America, and how it plays out with race police shootings in the state of America today. Should be fun. It looks very interesting with some of the stuff that they showed. The black cop says something like, now he has a, and I don't know, I'm sure he didn't say this and mean to be recorded, but you know how the internet is today. Something like, this gave him a freedom to shoot whites or something he says. And I was like, oh, this is really about to be interesting how deep they get into the race issue and see what this looks like for TV. Right. And last but not least, for all of you 24 lovers, they are doing a 24 legacy TV show. Kiefer is on a Fox show, but it's not this one. Kiefer Sutherland or whatever his name is. I don't even know the young man's name, but this trailer is awesome, and I am a 24 fan, and I think that of all of those, I'll try to catch probably most of them, but this one looks very interesting. It's a black male lead, and that's not the reason I'm watching it, but it looks very interesting. And so it's a switch from the white guy being the one that's running around trying to save a world. Now it's a black young man running around trying to save the world from terrorists that are on American soil.
Mm. Yeah, Fox seems to be doing something, you know, here in their summer and their fall lineup.
I'm excited about this 24 because if they keep up the par with the ones with the Kiefer guy, those are always interesting. So
yeah,
well, see where that goes.
Yeah, so look out for that new Fox Fall lineup. Gonna be pretty interesting to see how that shakes out. Well, I think that's gonna bring us to our next break. On the other side, I've been teasing it. Me and T have been talking about it. We're going to give our cast for our movie our hypothetical movie that we're going to produce. So y'all definitely stay tuned for that. It's gonna be very interesting. This has been the Mac and T Show.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have been, I've been teasing it on social media. I have, you know, T and I for years have talked about this. We, you know, when we're together, we always talk about, you know, when we have a actor or actress that we really, really like, we always say, we're going to put them in our movie. One day, we're going to put them in our movie. You know, we don't know if we're going to have the budget at some point, but, you know, there's GoFundMe accounts, there's donations that we are accepting for these actors and actresses, and once we throw them out there, you'll really be interested, I'm sure. But I'm going to kick it off with the matriarch of our movie family. The mother, the grandmother type, Loretta Devine.
Yes, she's going. I love her because she's so versatile, and I just love her. I heart Loretta.
Yeah, I knew
she got to be the mom.
From many conversations that T and I have had, I knew that she would agree with that first choice for the head. For the family head. So where else are we gonna go with our casting for this movie?
For the dad, you know, we talked about, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne, I don't watch The Blackish, you do.
Right.
But you talked about him having a comedic side, because at some point, like, you know, it's gotta be a couple of funnies.
Right, and, you know, in all his movies, all Lawrence's movies, he's very serious, it seems. And, you know, obviously he'll throw a little zinger here and there with that stone cold face where you don't know if you're supposed to laugh or not. But in Blackish, he has a very, very comedic side, a very different side to, you know, his traditional character. So I think he would be a great choice for Mama Devine's little.
And I wanted to mention that David Greer is doing a good job with her in the Carmichael Show. I think they have good chemistry and timing, comedic timing.
Yes.
So I like him too, but I never like picked him to be. But we might can afford him, and we probably can't afford Lawrence, so we might have to go. we can afford.
Other members of the family, I know you and I have talked about a aunt type character being Jennifer Lewis.
We love Jennifer Lewis, yes, too.
Vera from she's all hilarious. The Browns, for anyone who is a Chicago parent, Meet the Brown fan. Yeah.
Jennifer, I guess, do we have to have a crazy uncle or somebody like that?
No, I think like you've always said, Jennifer can stand on her own. I think she doesn't.
Oh, okay, we good with that.
You know, we don't necessarily need a love interest for her character.
Well, she could be no. I mean a love interest, like just like if she's Loretta's sister, or you know, or Lawrence's sister, then like the other side having a sibling or whatever that would be.
Oh,
the kid's uncle, whatever. Yeah, not that they married.
Right, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who could it be?
I like, he was on Roscoe Jenkins, the cousin, the light-skinned guy that's the actor.
Oh, goodness. He's in a movie recently, Meet the Blacks. What is his name?
And he was supposed to do Uncle Buck, but it never happened.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. I saw the previews for it.
The new Uncle Buck has...
What is
it? Oh, my God. I can't find his name. Mike Epps.
Mike Epps. Yes, it's coming out on ABC. Uncle Buck. It is coming.
Okay, so, yeah. Mike Epps, I think, would be good because he's pretty funny.
Yes. And nothing.
Then I want Jerny Lewis or look. Let me see. This, I'm running out of list. Jerny Lewis.
Jerny Smollett.
I mean, yeah. Smollett. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm making up names.
That's now, all right.
Jerny Smollett, Bell, or Kiki Palmer, or hey, what was the other girl name that I saw that we might can afford?
Tatiana Ali.
Yes, Tatiana Ali, yes. I just saw her in the movie.
Don't worry about
she
what
she did a great
afford.
Job.
Our listeners are going to come through on our GoFundMe
account. They come through on our...
Yeah, we can...
Okay.
In
yes,
fact, I'm putting Tatiana, Jurnee Smollett-Bell, and Kiki Palmer. They're going to be sisters in this movie.
Okay, yes. But then we got it. We on... All right, so moving right along.
And all three of them are different skin tones, but that does not matter. If this is a movie, we
can no, that's fine. That can happen. Because I just saw a black lady that had a white baby. No lie. I think they were in England somewhere. And the lady said it's like a 1 in a million chance it would happen.
Right.
But the father was white. But, I mean, the baby looked like just a straight white baby. Blue eyes, I believe he had. Nothing about him looked. Now, facially, he looked like his mother. Like, he had her features, but he was white.
Oh,
I was like, wow.
For male counterparts to our younger female actress,
we're gonna get the guy that we just talked about from the boxing movie. What was his name?
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. We're gonna put him in now, and then we're gonna get the dude from
the young man from
the basketball movie,
Robert Richard.
Damian Robert Richard
in Coach Carter's movie. Damian Carter. He played the son.
And then, there's no white boy now. Let's
see. Can we afford Channing Tatum? Yeah, we can afford him.
We can afford Shannon.
Yeah, we'll put Channing.
So Shannon is going to, and that's going to throw him this spot to miss. The movie just got interesting right there.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to put him in there. Not to revert back, but we did forget one of our favorites that we always say is going to be in our movie,
Regina King. We can't even afford Regina. Yes, Regina, come on down.
We can't afford. I told you our listeners are coming through.
No, this is Blue Sky Productions.
Right.
My bad. Blue Sky Productions.
Right.
Yes.
In association with.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is shaping up to be a pretty good cast here. And, Let's see. I like Jesse Smollett, Jurnee Smollett's brother, this Jamal in Empire. I think he would be a very good choice to find a role in our movie.
Yeah, he's growing.
And he don't have to have a big role. He can just have a one-off cameo. There's always room for a cameo.
And we gotta get Jonah Hill because he's hilarious.
Yes, if you're gonna have Channing, you gotta have his counterpart in all these 21.
Right, you gotta have like a brother or somebody. And since they've been in some stuff together, they were pretty good. And what was the Jump Street?
Yes, 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Yeah. So, yeah, we gonna throw them in for some comedy. Guess who's coming to dinner?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Back in T style.
This is gonna be very interesting. We can't give out our plot or our title for copyright issues. We don't want anyone trying to steal our thunder.
Right.
Look out for 2026 coming to the screen.
Oh, have mercy.
Yeah, it's coming. We're gonna put it in work. We're gonna put it together. And
we're gonna have a casting call for some youngins that we don't know about.
Right. We're gonna introduce some people as well. Like, you know, Empire introduced us to a couple of actors and actresses. We're gonna throw some introductions in there, let y'all know about some people that y'all hadn't seen. Goodness. You got anything else before we wrap this up?
Well, no, but I would just like to say, Nate Parker, you may know him from, let me Google him and make sure I get this right. Nate did an excellent job in this movie with, okay, actually, Nate has been in quite a bit. He was in The Great Debaters and Nonstop, but he was in Beyond the Light. Have you seen that?
I have, yes. I know you're talking about.
I like him. We might have to throw him in.
Yeah, he would be a good
one. I like him. He did an excellent job in that movie. Good-looking young man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, hopefully I get to see Civil War, and we'll bring that to you guys and talk about Hero World next time.
Yes, we have our Memorial Day special.
Yes.
So we'll talk about Civil War and some other things. And, one thing I did forget. My co-host is going under the knife tomorrow, so I want to wish you well.
Oh, Lord.
On your,
yes.
Your impending.
A little work getting done on the parts. Things fixed up.
Yeah, maintenance. Maintenance on the joints. Maintenance. that seasoned.
My parts have been used. They've been used on concrete, wood, rubber, all kinds of surfaces.
Yeah, so, you know, she's having some seasoned folks maintenance.
But
that's going to wrap up our show for today. I hope everyone enjoyed it. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
Dr. T. Davis.
Oh, she done squished it up on us. Lord have mercy. Yes, Dr. T. Coming to the stage.
Yes, Dr. T. Davis. Thank you.
Dr. T.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Not MD, PhD.
PhD. Dr. T, yes, thank you. This has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows. Sports and world news. Coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.